Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
All right. Good morning again. So what happened to me this morning, which happens a lot, is around 3 o'clock, I was wide awake. So I usually get my Kindle, which I can read in the dark, sit in bed, and read about a third of this book on the idea of prayer. So I'm just hoping I don't end up going off my notes and slipping in what I just learned about prayer. Right? Sometimes that's the danger of doing that. But one of the things that it's saying in there, that the purpose of prayer is prayer. That's it. Nothing else. None of the stuff we ask for, none of that. The pure purpose of prayer, it's prayer itself. To make that reconnection, that communion with God. Once you do that, then all those things you might ask for will be what? Given unto you. Okay? So in this, we're going to talk somewhat about that, and this is a day of joy, even joy. It's her birthday today. Joy, it's her birthday. So Joy's birthday is on the day of joy. great to have you here doing that. So let me just read. This is the fourth in the Advent series. The subtitle to this is God's Promise is Great Joy. And the reading that you have on your green flyer in your bulletin said, the fourth candle represents joy and is symbolized by a star. When we recognize that God's promise of the birth of the Christ has been fulfilled and that which is sought has already been given to us, we are filled with joy. The star was a signal to the wise men that the event which had been foretold, that which they were waiting for, was realized. The brilliant light of the Bethlehem star represents our inner illumination, which moves us beyond hope when we have that deep inner knowing that the Christ has indeed been born in us. That knowing leads to an experience of great joy. So let me, as April lights the joy candle, let me just repeat that last line. The brilliant light of the Bethlehem star represents our inner illumination, which moves us beyond hope when we have that deep inner knowing that the Christ has indeed been born in us. That knowing leads to an experience of great joy. Now, according to the Revealing Word, the book that we use to define words in the Bible, how many people own the Revealing Word? Okay. Yes, that's something that everybody should have in their library. But they say that the Star of Bethlehem symbolizes our inner feeling, our inner belief, our inner certainty, our inner knowing that we are truly the son and daughter of God, meaning we are the individualized expression of God. And when we get this inner illumination, we can say to ourselves with conviction, surely the Christ is present in me and in my life. And I now know that I am truly the son of God. I am truly the daughter of God. No longer do I hope for the best, because now I know that through Christ who strengthens and reinforces my faith, only the best is in store for me, and I am filled with joy. Isn't that incredible? You know, so it says living from this inner knowing, which I understand is challenging, especially if you've been watching the news this week, right? So, you know, we'll pump ourselves up with joy, and then we'll step out in the world, and the joy gets knocked back down. We're talking about a joy that cannot be knocked down by the world. And we're going to try to break that down today as to how we get to that. So when your inner feeling about your life moves from hope to the certainty of knowing, you will truly understand how to live your life from the perspective of faith and the power and presence of good always unfolding in your life. And so this is the thing where stuff is going to happen. We know stuff is going to happen. But after I observe that the stuff is happening, can I go back within and reconnect and stay connected to my inner joy? All right? And as we said in the first Advent lesson, hope often falls prey to fear and doubt. But faith, on the other hand, knows nothing about fear. Faith knows nothing about doubt. Can you understand what I'm saying there? So, you know, when we say, I have faith, but stuff happens, and you move back into fear and doubt, then you weren't talking about the faith we're talking about. We're not talking about the faith of God. You were talking about the faith of the ego. It was the ego saying, I have faith. The ego likes to claim spiritual ideas and act as if it knows and has a good firm grip on these ideas until something happens. And if something happens and you slip back into fear, then you know that the faith you thought you had was not really faith. So we're talking about moving to a different consciousness, moving to a different space within us. So the only thing faith knows is that the Christ is fully present in charge of my life and affairs, right? Giving you a great sense of joy, even when there appears to be nothing to be joyful about. That's the key. You know, you just had this, somebody says, why are you so happy? You just, because I am. All right? Now, I am. You are claiming your I am-ness. The truth of your being is full of joy. So the logical question would be, how do I move from hope to faith, from doubt to an inner knowing, an absolute knowing that God is in charge of my life and affairs? Meaning things are happening, but those things have nothing to do with this inner joy that I have, knowing that my greater good is coming. When we were in Florida, we were listening to Joel Osteen, and he was talking about this idea that, you know, because it's in your mind, the universe is working to bring it into being. But it may not come into being according to your time, right? So that's why your faith has got to be beyond appearance, because you're saying, well, it doesn't look like anything is happening. And that's when your faith starts to waver, right? That's not true faith. You got to understand that the universe is working to bring about those things which you say that you want. You cannot let faith and doubt enter because of doubt and fear enter, because if fear and doubt enters, it stymies that process. You get it? So even if it comes to you because you're in fear, you can't even see it. You can't perceive it. You can't receive it. Okay? So moving to this inner state of absolute knowing is not an overnight decision, nor is it an overnight accomplishment. It is a state of being that must be cultivated by continuously practicing and implementing truth principles in your life every day. So as you learn these principles, it's about, how do I work this? How do I make this happen? Okay? And it's interesting, too, in this idea, when you say faith or you say any spiritual idea, there's more in that idea than you know. It's like Rod and I were talking about this moment. We had both had the smartwatch, the Samsung smartwatch. And then you read the book, and it's telling you can do this, can do this, can do this. But then you watch these YouTube videos where the guy says, 15 things you didn't know about the smartwatch. And you go, man, I didn't know I could do that, right? So it's this constant sort of research and understanding that this idea, I just don't want to accept it and say, okay, this is faith. But I got to really understand what that really means. And that's mostly what we do in these lessons. We try to break it down so we understand what is the deeper aspect of how to utilize these ideas we're learning. And many of us are willing to hear the truth, but few are actually willing to work the truth, to do what's necessary to live from the truth, meaning really live in the trenches in your day-to-day life. So if you take these principles, yeah, they're easy to do when you're on vacation, but we're talking about, you know, you're in the trenches of life. That's when you want to implement these ideas. And remember, if you learn something and you don't put it into practice, then it's just pure knowledge, all right? And pure knowledge by itself is really useless, unless you are going to implement it, use it, try to live by it. But to be fair, it is difficult to hold on to a thought that all the answers to the challenges in our lives lie in a sincere application of a spiritual principle. In other words, stuff is happening. You're telling me just because I'm holding on to this idea of faith, peace, love, and joy, I'm holding on to those ideas just because I'm holding on to this, it's going to solve these problems that are going on. All right. In essence, a lot of times the problems will not be solved, but if you're holding on to the idea, it'll raise you to a level of consciousness above the problem, so it'll be irrelevant. The problem only bothers you when you're operating at the level of the problem. But when you rise to a level higher than that, that thing can still be going on, but it does not come unto you, as it says in the old scripture. You know, right? But to get to that consciousness of knowing, we must be willing to fully engage ourselves in the disciplined practice of living the truth. And yes, I agree that, you know, jumping into the discipline of fully living from the consciousness that truly professes God is in charge of my life and affairs, that's a lot to bite off, okay? So choose an aspect of a spiritual principle. You know, there's many spiritual principles that you can look to live by, but choose an aspect, something that you can work at and you're willing to work at to you know, to build your spiritual muscle. But it must be something that will cause you to flex your spiritual muscle. Don't be choosing little old light, you know, oh yeah, I can get away with this. I'll just choose that one. It's got to be something that's really going to cause you to flex your spiritual muscle. So, for example, many of the folks in the church here have been to Prosperity Plus. How many people have taken Prosperity Plus? Okay? So if you look around, the people who have taken Prosperity Plus have been working with building their spiritual muscle with the concept, the spiritual idea of tithing. Okay? Now, the purpose of this practice is to get into the habit of consciously acknowledging God of this, as a source of all your supply. That's the purpose of it. Okay? Now, this gets us into the habit of acknowledging God first and then thanking God by sharing a portion of what we receive with the place from which we get our spiritual food. Okay? So that is a spiritual practice. All right? Now, let me just share something with you. The number 10, it says in the Bible to share a tenth, okay? The one means a portion, and the zero means undefined. That's the metaphysics of it. So the thing, and it says in Scripture that the Lord loves what? A cheerful giver. So if you're working your spiritual muscle, you need to work where your muscle is. Like if you go into the gym, the Olympic bar in the gym by itself is 45 pounds. You might just start out with the bar if you can do that. You get what I'm saying? And then they got 2.5 pound weights, 5 pound weights, 10 pound weights, 25 pound weights, you know, 45 pound weights. You know, you add them on as you go. But you start what? Where you are, okay? Because if you go in and you put 235s, 45s on either end, that's 135 pounds. You lift it off the thing and it squashes you into the bench. You say, I ain't doing this no more. All right? So it's the same idea with tithing. The key is that you're working with a discipline that you're starting where you can and you keep upping the ante. You keep adding more weight. Does that make sense? Or adding more challenge. I don't want to say weight, adding more challenge. All right? So that's the idea. So the goal of the practice is to create a consciousness that acknowledges God by being the source of your supply, regardless of the place from which it is coming. And it's also a way of letting the divine presence within you know that you are willing to be the channel through which prosperity and abundance can flow without worry, without fear, without doubt. If you can do that, then you're letting the universe say, okay, well, here's a person, when it comes to them, they're going to let it flow through them. And so you're acknowledging, the universe is saying, the universe never holds it back, but the consciousness we're operating from blocks it from even coming into us. Does that make sense? Okay? So when you're doing your thing, like say with tithing, you know, when you're doing your thing, the universe is saying, this is a person that it will flow through, and they'll flow with it. And so you go with it. I know a friend of mine was telling me one time all he had was $10 left. He only had $10 to his name. And he was holding on to the fact, this is my last $10. So he went out into the street and he saw a street person and he gave him the $10. He says, now it's not on my mind anymore. I'm not holding on anymore. I'm open. You get it? Many of us will do that. We'll say, this is my last whatever. And when you say that's your last, the universe goes, maybe that's all you want. But you give it away freely, then the universe says, oh, okay, this person's ready. Let me let it flow into their lives. I mean, you look at a Bill and Melinda Gates. Why are they so wealthy? Their goal is to give away all their money before they pass away. But their financial advisor says, I can't give it away faster than they're making it. If you're giving away billions of dollars, the universe is doing what? Saying, whoa, yes, I can work with this, right? And so you say, how do I get to that place? You get to that place by starting where you are and being willing to just let it flow. Okay. Now, everyone who's involved in the spiritual practice of acknowledging God as a source of your supply is beginning to realize that our thoughts and actions have the power to influence the divine energy that we call God. Okay. By diligently practicing and living truth principles, we are learning that we create a wave of movement within our being and within our life that influences divine activity to create the channels that are necessary to supply our every need. So your mind, yet little thought you think you just have it in your mind, is influencing the universe. Carl Jung even talks about that, Dr. Carl Jung. So whatever's going on in your head, you're influencing the universe around you to act in accordingly. Okay? You with me? Okay? To act accordingly to how you're thinking. So we are, you know, we're also learning that quite often channels of prosperity that come to us a lot of times come from places that we never even thought about. Who's had that happen? You know, just boom, all of a sudden this money is coming. You're going, well, where did that come from? Well, in other words, when prosperity comes into your life from a source that you had no previous knowledge of, this means this prosperity was forming and preparing itself to make its way into your life according to your consciousness. Now, that's what you need to understand, is that prosperity or whatever it is you want is preparing itself to come into your life. It's acting in concert to set up the channels for it to happen. Now, this is true in the life of all of us. However, whether or not you receive the prosperity is dependent on whether or not the nature of your consciousness is attracting it or repelling it. And you will say, well, I would never repel prosperity from coming in my life. But fear, worry, doubt, you know, all of these things, that's blocking it. You get it? So think to yourself, it's always coming to you. It's coming to you right now while you're sitting here. But whether or not you receive that which you say you want is dependent on whether or not what you're holding in your mind. Are you blocking it or are you opening it? Oh, and I am, what is it? I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. And you use that. Something happened, you kind of go, whoa, I don't know how to deal with this. But I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. It's like Jesus said, Lord, take this cup from me. I can't deal with this. What? Comma. Not even period. Comma. Not my will, but thine be done. Okay. Is that making practical sense? Okay. So this is an important metaphysical fact to realize that when you're studying and working with truth principles, that being if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you can rest assured that God is doing what God's supposed to do. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, God is doing what God is supposed to do. In short, if you are working, God is working. Or you could say, if you are working with and living by truth, truth is working and living through you. I like that, right? But likewise, if you're not working and living with truth, you could possibly be working against the works of God. Because God is always working. Jesus said what? My Father is working still, and I am working. So God is always working, but for you to receive that good, you have to be working in coordination, in unison with God. So an important thing to remember is that God energy molds itself to conform to the thinking of the mind to which God is drawn. So all of our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying, okay? It's like when I was at Unity of Washington, D.C., a couple of decades ago now, we had a Swami come in, and she asked, how many people pray? People raise their hand. How many people pray? Raise your hand. Whoa, all the hands should go up. How many people worry? Okay. How many people pray? How many people worry? The thought here is, whether you think you're praying or you're worrying, you're praying all the time. Our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. Now, if you got that in your mind and this negative stuff rises up inside of you, you need to go, whoa, no, God, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Right? Let me change this thought. You with me? Okay? It's like with smartwatches and even years, I mean, this has got to be 30 years ago. I was running with a heart monitor watch. It had a thing around your heart, you know, around your heart to read it. And as you're running, you could watch it. And I was thinking something very negative. at the time, and I realized I was thinking something negative, so I looked at the watch to see what it was doing, and normally it would be like 70 beats per minute, 60, 70 beats per minute, and it jumped up to 180. So watching it, I changed my thoughts as I was running, and I could see the beats per minute go down. So it's a physiological process. You are damaging yourself with fear and worry. So if you love yourself, how many people love themselves? Right? Then you want to make sure that every thought, you know, moves in with God. So let me just say this again. An important thing to remember is that God energy molds itself to conform to the thinking of the mind into which God is being drawn. And notice I'm being very careful not to put gender in the language about God. This is because we want to remain mindful of the fact that God is pure divine energy. There is no anthropomorphic being up there. Okay? And in talking with my new Jesuit friend, he too used the ground of being when he talks about God, okay? And that's what their God is. Like, if you take the idea, if you take anything you see physical and break it down to its most elemental thing, it's just pure energy. So everything is pure energy, and that pure energy is God, okay? God is life substance. That without it has no specific shape or form until it enters into the consciousness of the one praying and forms itself to the prayer. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay? And, you know, in the God is formless energy with the potential to be shaped and formed into anything that our mind can conceive and believe. So if our desire is to have our life and affairs to unfold in a certain way, it is critical that we develop and maintain the consciousness that's responsible for shaping God in a certain way. Okay? Otherwise, thoughts that lack the discipline of living by truth can produce a wide assortment of unwanted, unnecessary life experiences. Okay? Now, when you practice the implementation of a spiritual principle in your daily life, you develop the mental discipline to responsibly direct divine intelligence in ways that will fulfill your needs. Did you hear what I said? So when you're practicing the principle, you're responsibly directing that divine intelligence to fulfill your needs. The gradual awakening of this inner knowing creates an inner atmosphere of great joy as you begin to experience the fading away of fear and doubt. So as you're holding these thoughts, these responsible thoughts wrapped around divine principle, divine ideas, then you move into a place where that's become your thinking, and as you're thinking that, fear and doubt now has no support. If it has no support, it fades away, okay? Now, when fear and doubt begin to fade away, the cloudiness in your mind begins to clear, and you become more and more aware of the Christ light shining within you. It's important to our spiritual progress that we realize that the brilliant star, a light of the Bethlehem star, is always shining within us, but it's not until we clear away the clouds of fear and doubt that we're able to experience the light shining within. So that's why the purpose of prayer is prayer. The purpose of prayer is to create a communion with Spirit. Somebody says, well, what about all of this stuff going on? All that stuff going on is irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is this idea that you are seeking to create a union with God or to reinforce your union with God. Okay? Now, clearing away the clouds of fear requires a disciplined implementation of spiritual principles in your everyday routine. I don't care if you're washing dishes, cooking dinner, whatever it is you're doing, okay? The spiritual principle needs to be part of that. It's a constant practice of always being mindful of this idea, all right? Now, you said, but I need to figure out so-and-so. But if you're connected to the source, figuring out so-and-so will be done through you. You don't have to figure it out. You have to be open to allowing it to be figured out through you, okay? And, you know, this idea about living a disciplined life, people like to say, well, I'm not a disciplined person. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you feel you're not a disciplined person, okay? That's not an acceptable excuse on a spiritual journey. Did everybody hear that? That is not an acceptable excuse. You have to consciously work diligently and mindfully to move into that space of spirit, right? It is by way of sincere, dedicated practice that spiritual discipline is developed. So the great reward of the practice of living daily by a specific spiritual principle is that it raises your consciousness to the level of that principle. Get it? So let's say if you take, tithing as a spiritual principle, or love, unconditional love as a spiritual principle. Any of those, if you're working with that idea, like Pam and I, when we were sitting in the airport and watching all the stuff that was going on, I said to Pam, I said, you know, God really takes on many different shapes and forms, doesn't he? Shapes, forms, attitudes. It's like God is saying, well, remember I said God's an omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Well, I can't be omniscient, all-knowing, if I don't know what it means to not be God. So let me be Joy. Let me be Diana. Let me be Robert. Let me be Sharon. Let me be, you know, follow me. Let me be all these different entities, and I can just understand what is it like to not be God. Okay? And that's what all of us are doing right now. We're trying to remember how it is to be God. Okay, we're trying to remember who we really are. We're trying to awaken to that. But the experience of God coming in as us is to see what it's like to be like that. That's incredible when you think about it, okay? And you say, well, I can't be God. But you understand, all there is God. If all there is God, then you are God. You're the individual expression of the divine idea we call God. Remember, the word God is only a handle. You know what I'm saying? It's only a handle. It's like somebody says, the ocean. But have you ever been to the ocean? It's massive. Can you imagine yourself being in the middle of the ocean? Without a boat, with nothing? You would look and say, this ocean is what? Omnipresent. Okay? But you got to understand that that's what you are. You are the wave in the ocean. So in the past Science of Mind magazine, there was an article called Living the Mindful Life by Putting God First, by Putting God Things First. Says, when you worship, you are magnified by the image you worship. Worship is a feeling state that lifts our vibration to the same frequency of that which we are worshiping. We send this image of what we are worshiping, our emotional, mental energy, and it reciprocates. So whatever you are worshiping, you raise yourself to the energy of that which you're worshiping. Okay? Now, when we worship God through the daily practice of living by a specific spiritual principle, this practice raises the vibration rate of our consciousness to the level of the principle. So people who can easily tithe 10% or more, it's because what? They're at the level of that idea. Okay? It's like if you go from, Dick Gregory talked about going from a carnivore to a vegetarian to a fruitarian to a breatharian. Okay, a carnivore eats anything that goes past his or her face, right? Okay, a vegetarian, you can actually go from fruits, vegetables, and nuts, but to try to be a vegetarian at the vibration of a carnivore is not really possible. You can struggle at it, but you're not there because you're operating at a very dense level of vibration. When the vibration of body begins to become less dense, then you can move to vegetarian fruits, vegetables, and nuts. As the vibration becomes even less dense, you can give up the nuts. As it becomes less dense, you might give up the vegetables. If it becomes less dense, you give up the fruit. If it becomes very less dense, then you can live on pure light. Like the lady, St. Teresa, who was in Time magazine, who only ate one wafer. What's the name of that? Say it. Host wafer. She had one wafer for 12 years. That's all she had was one wafer a day. And somebody asked her, how are you doing that? She says, I'm living off of pure light. But that means her body was what? Very light. Okay? Now, we all look at that and go, what? Nah, man, I think I want some peanut butter on that wafer. You know what I mean? But you understand, you know, even if your mind can't grasp that, you understand the idea of how it works. So those people, you know, we'll get people all the time and say, oh, you know, I'm going to be a vegan. Yeah. And then they find themselves in a certain places, like you see them slipping off. You know, it's just trying to realize, where am I really? You get what I'm saying? All right, don't try to claim something just because your ego wants to be it if the vibration of your being is not there. That's the whole idea, okay? So, you know, when we worship God through daily practice, what we're doing is we're getting ourselves, we're trying to move our vibration to the level of God, from being less dense. Right now we're very dense, to being a much lighter vibration. And we're, you know, we're generally joyful when we make the right decisions about, say, career or relationships or finance and so on. So just think how much more joyful you would be when you begin to realize that you're making decisions that will lead you to your higher purpose in life. How joyful will you be when you move out of the thinking associated with the rat race of the day? You know, it's a rat every day. Most of it's like a rat race. We love the term multitask. We love to multitask. All right? You know, and that's our thing. Oh, I can do this, I can do that. I mean, even in the classroom now, at the college, you know, we have these smart desks. We can take them out on the internet. We can play the video. We can do this. We can do that. We can do all kinds of stuff because the students today, yeah, their minds are going constantly, all right? And that's what we brag about, multitasking. But there comes a time when you just want to be, okay? And the tricky part of all this is to realize that whatever place, you know, wherever you place your energy, that becomes the thing you're worshiping. Who heard that? If you're in fear and doubt and worry and anxiety, you are worshiping these things and bringing yourself to the level of that which you're worshiping. So if you're constantly focused on the fact that you never have enough money, or you never seem to have a good relationship, or you have all these emotional problems and you that need fixing, and nobody knows to ever treat you right, and work is too much, and life is too much, and whatever. The thinking, even though it is legitimate, everybody hear me? I'm not saying it's not legitimate, right? If you're struggling with stuff in your life, it is legitimate. It's justifiable that just that's where you are. But you got to understand it is only legitimate at the level of the ego. It is not legitimate at the level of spirit, okay? And that's, and you have to say to yourself now, so this is what I'm now worshiping. And just ask yourself logically, is this where I want to be? So instead of being lifted up to a higher place in consciousness, you're being held down to the level of thinking which is producing the negative challenges in your life. And yes, this place in thought is difficult in that place to be joyful. And quite often when we cannot find joy within ourselves, and this is what I love, we find ourselves going out looking for a guru, right? And, you know, an external expert who seems to offer a promise of saving us from ourselves. And, you know, and if we find this person, he or she becomes an external stimulus of brief moments of joy. Now, again, in an article from Science of Mind magazine, it says, I love this, we are leaving the age where devotion to external experts seems to be essential to our spiritual unfoldment. And we are entering an age where awakening to the truth within our own being is the new ideal. We can never learn self-mastery from an outer authority. So you need to stop saying, Butch said, right? The path to self-knowledge must carry us inward now. So we enter the path that leads to the depths of our psyche to find God within. For God is that entity within whom we live and move and have our being. We enter this path through meditation and study and deep psychological inner work. Upon this subjective inner terrain, you will meet the true teacher who is the Christ, the true Lord of your being. I like that. So the whole new thought movement is the idea that we're responsible for ourselves. We're responsible for our own spiritual unfoldment. And even the ideas I'm sharing with you this morning, these are just ideas for self-stimulation, right? That's why you don't hear all of what I'm saying, because something I'll say will cause you to go, and off you go. Your mind is working with that one idea, so you don't need to hear the rest of what I said. Right? Am I right? Okay, it's just the way the process works, okay? So, you know, the purpose of the new thought process is to guide us to look within for the answers we seek concerning the ways in which our life is unfolding. What is going on in me that's causing my life to unfold the way it is? You know, even I have to, you know, just to share a little thing with Pam. The first time that happened to her, when she tore her hamstring tendon, what was that, 2 or 3 years ago? You guys remember, she was in a wheelchair. She was devastated because the doctor told her, this kind of injury, you will never be able to go back to doing the fitness training and all that you were doing. She was devastated. This time when it happened, she looked at me and she says, I'm all right with this. I don't need to go back. I need to go forward. That was, you feel the revelation in that? You know? So we're looking at things now like Tai Chi. We're going to be coming to you to talk to about. And when I said that to the physical therapist and to the doctor, he goes, yes, that'd be good. And the chiropractor, oh, yes, Tai Chi. You know, in other words, get away from that hard pounding and, yeah, that stuff, you know. So, you know, what's interesting? Those of us who are older are really in a good place. Am I right? Because we can look back now and say, yeah, I don't need to do that anymore. I was telling some ladies this morning, I literally in the gym, I could do a 1,000-pound leg press for 30 reps. The guys used to tease me about, do you want us to go out in the parking lot and get a Volkswagen and put it on top of there too? But now when I'm in the gym and I see somebody loading up the thing, I want to go over to them and say, you might not want to do that. But when we're young, we're like, oh, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. We're grunting and going, all right, when everybody see us doing it, right? But as we get older, we get what? Wiser, right? Wisdom comes, all right? So you cannot experience spiritual growth and the accompanying joy by just knowing this principle. You have to get out there and practice it. Like the wise men, we need to follow the brilliant light of the Bethlehem star that's leading us to the Christ idea that is born within us. And as we get closer, we experience an inner illumination which will move us beyond hope to a deep inner understanding and knowing that the Christ indeed is born within us. That knowing leads to the experience of great joy. Amen.